Happy birthday, happy birthday. Oh yes, it's your day. I hope that it's okay. Though it may sound cliche, make good things come your way. So have a happy, 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 happy day.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to a special birthday installment of Morning Reload. And whose birthday is it? Well, it's mine, of course. From high above all other stupefyingly idiotic forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your eminently qualified and illustrious redcoat hunting host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. This is the segment of the program where I give you a little Monday morning ammunition to use against those sophomoric and moronic liberals that would dare interrupt your morning coffee, or, in this case, morning birthday cake. What's that you say? You have red birthday cake for me? Red as in red coat? Now, it just so happens on my birthday on Cowboy State Politics, we talk about red coats. Now, I know what you're saying. David, we talk about redcoats all the time on the program. Why is this one any different? Well, you see, my friends, I have been tracking this particular redcoat for quite some time, and it has taken my advanced and otherworldly skills to nail down the precise moment to which we can expose this uncharacteristically crafty redcoat. You see, normally redcoats are not crafty at all. In fact, they're kind of stupid. But this one? Oh, this one has taken some skill, my friends. Okay. And it's taken a little bit of help from my advanced network of redcoat identifying spies. Thanks, guys. Now, before we get to the festivities, or birthday party, as it were, a little totally egregious self-promotion. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iHeartRadio, Amazon Podcasts, iTunes, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden and you don't know anything, well, then you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and educate yourself. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a giant roping arena or a barn or really any type of building, well, then you need to call Nick or Jesse at Morton Buildings at 307-674-2532. These guys are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they certainly do it better than anybody else around. So whatever it is you have rolling around in that little brain of yours, will you just tell Nick and Jesse what you're up to, and they'll figure out all the details. Give them a call, 307-674-2532, or check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Okay, on with the redcoat hunt. It begins with Sleepy Joe Biden, or whoever is pulling his strings. No doubt by now, all of you have heard this little gem.
This is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you, the people you work with, the people you care about, the people you love.
Oh, I beg to differ, Joe. There isn't anything more that is about personal choice than your health care. And in the great state of Wyoming, it's Article 1, Section 38 of the Wyoming Constitution that says you have the right to make health care decisions for yourself and your family, not the government. And while we're on the topic of freedom, you're really going to love the very next sentence that Joe Biden utters after the last soundbite. Here it is.
My job as president is to protect all Americans.
No, your job is to protect the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And it would appear that many of those enemies reside in your own administration. Because we all know that you can barely read a teleprompter, much less write the things that go in it. So Joe Biden thinks that this isn't about freedom, and this isn't about personal choice, and it's his job as president to protect each and every one of our pretty little heads. Before we get to the meat of the issue, the big soundbite number 4, I want to point out one more very disturbing thing that Joe Biden said during this speech. And if you weren't listening closely to what he said, you may have missed it. But here it is.
We cannot allow these actions to stand in the way of protecting the large majority of Americans who have done their part.
This is what's called in classic philosophy utilitarianism. To put it in a simpler term, it's the greatest good for the greatest number of people. On its face, you might think that that's an okay philosophy, but really what it is pure democracy. That is, mob rule. Let me give you an example. If you could create world peace by eliminating one whole race of people, would that be worth it? Well, no, none of us would say that, but it would be the greatest good for the greatest number of people, wouldn't it? This is specifically why we live in a republic and not a democracy. In a republic, the mob does not rule. The founders of our country were incredibly wise. They lived in a time where they heard dumb phrases like, for the good of the empire. And they knew that that thought process led to the trampling of the rights of the minority. That's why they created a republic. In this case, it would be the trampling of the rights of those people who wish to exercise Article 1, Section 38 of the Wyoming Constitution. They disagree with the actions of the government, and they choose to make their own healthcare decisions. But in Joe Biden's America, no, we would focus on the good of the whole. One more thing. Do you know who also uses this argument of utilitarianism? Socialists. The good of the empire, the good of the motherland, the good of the fatherland, the good of the whole, and the greatest good for the greatest number of people. And if you're interested in reading up on that, look up Jeremy Bentham, Utilitarianism. I mean, come on, give me a break. We had to talk a little bit of philosophy on my birthday. And now, the I'm really glad this one wasn't a snoozer soundbite number 4 from Joe Biden.
So tonight, I'm announcing that the Department of Labor is developing an emergency rule to require all employers with 100 or more employees that together employ over 80 million workers to ensure their workforces are fully vaccinated or show a negative test at least once a week. The bottom line, we're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated coworkers.
Protect the majority from the minority. Man, doesn't that sound familiar?
My plan will extend the vaccination requirements that I previously issued in the healthcare field. Already, I've announced, we'll be requiring vaccinations at all nursing home workers who treat patients on Medicare and Medicaid because I have that federal authority. Tonight, I'm using that same authority to expand that to cover those who work in hospitals, home healthcare facilities, or other medical facilities. A total of 17 million healthcare workers.
No, you most certainly do not have the authority to tell me what to do with my own personal business, nor do you have the authority to tell anyone to put anything in their body, Mr. President.
I will sign an executive order that will now require all executive branch federal employees to be vaccinated. All. And I've signed another executive order that will require federal contractors to do the same. If you want to work with the federal government and do business with us, get vaccinated. If you want to do business with the federal government, vaccinate your workforce.
Uh-huh. And just in case you forgot,
this is not about freedom or personal choice.
And one more thing before we get to today's totally deserved birthday redcoat hunt. Remember, this is not a vaccine. Here's our Dr. David Earl Grafe explaining it to you one more time. And in case you've missed this, go back and listen to the episode, Questions You Should Be Asking. It's all there. And for all you nimrods in the Wyoming mainstream media, I've posted Dr. David Earl Grafe's resume on the website just in case you've forgotten how eminently qualified he is and how unqualified many of your doctors are. Here's what he has to say about this shot.
This is where I have a point of contention with the CDC and what they're saying. They're saying what they're saying is true. This is not a live virus. But what they're not telling you is this is a new technology that has never been done before. This is brand new. In the past, we have used live viruses, attenuated viruses, killed viruses. So this, our concept of what a vaccine is no longer applicable with the current what they call vaccines, which in my opinion is more appropriately described as gene therapy. Okay. I call it gene therapy because they are giving you genetic material that is then going to go into your cells and interact with your cells.
We'll get back to this mind-blowingly advanced episode of Cowboy State Politics in just a second. But first, a totally obscene profit timeout. Do you ever lean against your fence and look at your barn and think, man, what a pile of crap that thing is? Well, you need to call Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings at 307-674-2532. And you just tell them what you need, and they'll fill in all the blanks. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they do it better than anybody else around. So give them a call, 307-674-2532, or check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. September 17th, live from Rawlins, Wyoming, this program will be broadcasting the Rural Wyoming Matters United States Congressional Forum. The link to the event is posted on the website under the live section. Also, it's posted on Facebook, on the Cowboy State Politics Facebook page, and just about everywhere else I can think of. I'll make sure during this week to keep posting it everywhere so you don't miss out. So September 17th, live from Rawlins, Wyoming. Ha! Another birthday text message. If you've been thinking about doing something extra super special for me for my birthday, aside from the gift you give me every day of listening to the program, and you think that your group's or business's values line up with those of Cowboy State Politics, well, we have plenty of space available to advertise on the program. Just shoot me an email. The address is david@cowboystatepolitics.com, and I'll get that conversation started for you. I'd love to hear from you. Have I mentioned it's my birthday? Just kidding. Let's get back to the program. So now, let me tell you all about how this relates to our redcoat hunt. I mean, you didn't think this was all about Joe Biden, did you? That'd be way too simple for today. But first, we need to get in the Wayback Machine. Take me away, I don't mind, but you better promise me I'll be back in time. All the way back on December 18th of 2020, Senator Tara Nethercott was on the podcast First But Last, talking about why she ran for the Wyoming State Senate and how she tries to make all of her decisions. Here's what she had to say.
Another motivation is why I ran for office, understanding the importance of those decisions. And behind every decision that I make is a family that is impacted as a result of any, you know, budgetary reduction that we need to do or program elimination. There are real families and real people who are impacted by those decisions and have lifelong results.
Now, that wouldn't include decisions that would require people to get vaccinated as a condition of employment, would it? Now, that would be a pretty great attitude, thinking about the long-term effects of the decisions that we've made, given everything that we've talked about in this episode. And it would be, if it were true. So now, let's fast forward to March 12th of 2021, where Senator Nethercott was chairing a hearing of the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. A number of bills were up for their consideration that day, including Senator Anthony Bouchard's bill that would ban vaccine mandates in the state of Wyoming. At the time, Senator Anthony Bouchard was in the very next committee room working on a different bill, and Senator Nethercott knew it. Now let's begin with how the hearing started. I want you to pay close attention to how she treated a different senator who was not present to present one of his bills. Actually, to present two of his bills. Give this a listen.
So with that, we will go to Senate File 128, Temporary Delegation of Parental Authority. Senator Kinski, are you here? Seeing that you were not here, seeing that this is the third calendar day that this has been scheduled.
Is he the one that just poked his head and said he'd be right back?
Okay, he'll be right back. Is there any other information that any of the committee members would like to share with me about Senate File 128 or Senator Kinski? You can say online, is he planning on presenting the bill this morning? Is he working on another bill?
He's planning on presenting both bills.
Okay. So with that, we'll move to Senate File 137, Firearms Preemption Amendments and Applicability. Senator Kinski, seeing that you're not here this morning, we'll move on to the next bill.
Well, that was pretty decent of her, wasn't it? See, he didn't show up for the previous two times that his bill was going to be heard in the committee, and here she is, giving him a third chance. Well, he's just late this time, though. Now, listen to how she treats Senator Bouchard.
Senate File 94, Prohibiting Coerced Vaccinations. Senator Bouchard. No one is here this morning. Senator French, you're a co-sponsor on this bill. Why don't you walk us through this bill?
A little context is necessary here. Lots of different senators and representatives sign on as co-sponsors to different bills. It doesn't mean that they wrote them. It doesn't mean that they're that familiar with them. And it doesn't mean that they're able to go through the bill line by line and explain exactly what it does, because they didn't write it. The only reason that a lot of people sign on as co-sponsors is they like the idea. They're in support of the idea. But the whole reason why they allow the person that wrote the bill to present it is they understand it the best. Chairwoman Nethercott knew that Senator Tim French did not write the bill and likely would not be able to defend it adequately. Really, though, this bill was pretty easy. It would have prevented forced vaccinations in the state of Wyoming. That would come in kind of handy right about now, wouldn't it? Hey, Chairwoman Nethercott, what was that about understanding the long-term effects of the decisions that you make? Here's a couple clips of how the presentation of Senator Bouchard's bill went. I'm sure you'll be just as impressed as that whole committee was.
Well, that's it. I think the gist of this bill is you don't want anybody...
Senator French, I understand that you read us the bill, but what is the gist of the bill? What does it do?
It prevents forced vaccinations. Or at least it would have. This next soundbite is pretty ridiculous. It's Senator Kolb asking Tim French a question about the bill, and it clearly shows how familiar Senator French was with the bill that he was forced to defend.
Senator Kolb?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Senator French, just a general question. It was my understanding that in the United States, you can't be forced to take a vaccine. So the coerced part of this, where you're basically forced, to do this, it seems like we already have protections for this. And I just wondered what is your opinion on the need for this bill if you already presently can't be forced to take a vaccine? You know, I'll just give you an example. No one's going to come up to you at gunpoint and, you know, make you take a shot. I don't believe that's the way the law is currently written. Could you expound on that and maybe explain why we need this?
No, not at gunpoint, but President Sleepy Joe Biden might sign an executive order forcing you to get a vaccine, Senator Kolb. But anyway, here's Senator Tim French's response.
We were had to have these vaccinations. I think that's where a lot of it's coming. You know, I had to have the one where everybody ended up with a little round scar from a tetanus, smallpox, or whatever it was. Those types of things. We really didn't have a choice back then. So I think that fear of, can that happen again? Can they mandate that? Can they force that upon you? You know, you can't, your children can't be educated unless they have this shot or that shot. So,
Senator French, that's currently the law now. In order to attend public school, you must be immunized. But your children don't have to attend public school. It's all a choice.
Oh, really? Well, two things. Here's the first one.
This is not about freedom or personal choice.
And secondly, don't forget about that whole bit of understanding the long-term consequences of the decisions we make, Senator Nethercott. In the end, the bill failed 4-1. What would have been a defense against Sleepy Joe's vaccine mandate didn't even get debated on the floor because Senator Tara Nethercott killed it in committee, and she did it intentionally. I really encourage you to watch the committee hearing on YouTube. I've posted the link on the website. Pay close attention to all of the mannerisms of Chairwoman Nethercutt. She really is condescending in that committee hearing. So the whole point is a bill that would have blocked vaccine mandates was killed in committee. That's a process called nullification. You might be familiar with that term as it relates to the SAPA bill. Oh, wait a minute. One more thing about Chairwoman Tara Nethercutt. On YORhino.com, Senator Tara Nethercutt ranks a dismal 40%. In 2020, she was rated 58% by the NRA. In 2020, she voted against the Second Amendment Preservation Act. And in 2021, she assisted in the gutting of the Second Amendment Preservation Act, which failed eventually. So again, I ask, what was all of that stuff about understanding the long-term implications of the decisions you make, Senator? We don't have a law that blocks vaccine mandates, and we certainly don't have a Second Amendment Preservation Act, both of which are thanks to Senator Tara Nethercutt. Maybe not so wily a redcoat, after all. Before I leave you today, I just want to tell you that it's impossible for me to explain how much this audience means to me. Every single day that I get to sit behind this microphone and talk to you and know that you are all actually listening, it does my heart good. And today, being my birthday, I couldn't ask for a better present. So thank you, have a good day, and we'll talk again on Wednesday. And just because it's my birthday, here's a little extended cowboy state politics theme music for you. From the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.